Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you just said. I thank you, Father God, for the people who come into the house of God and for the new people, Father, that I haven't seen before. But Father God, I'm asking that everybody that walks through these doors, they walk through these doors for a reason. And you know exactly what it is. And I'm asking you this morning, Father God, to meet each and every need. And I'm asking you to bring us even higher up into your spirit realm where we can commune with you, Father. And you can reveal heavenly secrets to us. And Father God, we thank you for your teaching this morning. We thank you that you love us so desperately, that you never lead us astray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, he called this the final showdown. God said, daughter, this fall, 2020, is very crucial. It will be the best of both worlds and the worst. My spirit will be moving, but the darkness will also be moving. My people don't seem to be able to comprehend such a movement, but it will be so. Now, in case you don't know, everything you see up there in green is God speaking. Now, God said, too much is being said about the negative instead of the positive, and because of this, the negative is gaining strength. The church needs to get her eyes off the negative and focus on the positive. I am moving all across this land, and I am placing everything in order for the great and final showdown of the ages. Now, let's stop there. You know, in that video that I sent out, the man said who was in heaven for 5 hours talking, and God was talking to him, that God said, that man, had 11 years to fulfill the assignment that God has spoken to him. So you guys know that for 11 years, you too have 11 years to fulfill the assignment God has given you. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to end in 11 years. I'm not saying that, but you can be encouraged because, you know, knowing that there is 11 years ahead of you. So don't think that God's going to come any second because he isn't. We don't know when he's going to come. But because he told this man, the man had 11 years, I believe he's not going to come any second, right? So God said, I am moving all across this land and I am placing everything in order for the great and final showdown of the ages. God said, I want my body to focus on my son Jesus, my Holy Spirit, and my word. These three things will bring you out on top every time. No weapon formed against you shall prosper when, and see, I put that in parentheses, when you focus on heavenly things. You must always think on things above and not on things below. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So if you're born again, then you're raised with Christ, right? Then we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, God said this great transition has taken its toll on many in the body simply because they were not prepared for it. I spoke about this transition for years, but the church did not listen, and those that did not understand what I was saying. And isn't that true? How many times did I announce that church would not be as usual? How many times did I speak and say persecution of the church was coming upon American soil? Now that these things are upon you, you do not know how to function. That is so true. And when God was saying, and he said that, I don't know how many times through me, church will not be as usual. I was thinking we was going to have just glory, just dropping and dropping and dropping. I did not know he was going to go into this. See, I did not understand what God was saying. And I was so excited that it wasn't going to be as usual that I didn't even ask him what he was saying. How many of you do that? It sounds really good, so you don't bother asking him what he's saying. He was saying one thing, and I was thinking another. Right? Now, God said, this is a season of great distress, and the only solution is in my heavenly kingdom. I so desire to rescue you from the darkness that is spreading all across this land and bring you into the total light of my heavenly kingdom. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. In other words, he's saying, you already know what God is going to do, and he's not going to come and catch you off guard. Why? Because we are not children of the dark, but we are children of the light. The whole body of Christ can't say that. But I believe that each one of you in here, you've been bopped on the head often enough that God has that pounded in your head that you're children of light, right? Hopefully. God said, you were also taught about this, but you did not comprehend what I was saying. In 1 Peter chapter 4 says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, come on, church. Why are you fussing about all the mess you had to go through this week? God told us that we would suffer for the sake of Christ, right? And I've had a lot of emails with people suffering. And, you know, but God always gives me the right words to say to them. And I'm working with 4 people right now. And the next email I get is one not negative, but it's positive, lifting them up because they're understanding that they are not called just to sit here and in the sweet by and by, and not fight. We have to fight. We have to fight out with our faith, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says, Household slaves, submit with all fear to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the cruel. For it brings favor if mindful of God's will. Someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer if you endure it? This brings favor with God. I'm sorry, let's read that again. Household slaves, submit with all fear to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the cruel. For it brings favor if mindful of God's will. Someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God. For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. Jesus did not commit sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by his wounds. Paul is saying is, you know, if you sin and you have to pay a price, that's the way it is. But if you're walking with God and not sinning and people come and persecute you, you're supposed to endure that. And the body of Christ doesn't want to do that. And I'm part of the body of Christ, and sometimes I don't want to do that. You know, sometimes you think, God, you know, this isn't right. But we don't say nothing. We just put it in God's hands and we keep going. All right? And we don't quit God. We don't accuse God. We just keep on going. God said, there are too many false prophets and not enough that have paid the ultimate price to hear a very accurate on-time word for this season. In Matthew 4:24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. If you're reading anything that's going on out there, there's an awful lot of people writing about false prophets right now. God has been warning us for quite some time that false prophets were going to come on the scene. He said the Antichrists are already here. You know, the Antichrist with an S on the end, not the, but the little ones. And those Antichrists are false prophets who come and prophesy out of their flesh and not of the Spirit. We've already been warned of that, and that's why we are very careful of who touches who in this church. I don't want you to touch anybody or prophesy over anybody if I don't know you, because I don't want you to speak falsely to the people here. I've heard before God called me into the ministry, I've watched too many prophets come into the house of God and prophesy things that were not true and destroy people. Don't ever allow anybody to lay hands on you unless you know their fruit. All right? 2 Peter chapter 2 says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2 says, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. I don't know if you read about TBN will no longer carry Kenneth Copeland. They're dropping him, and they're bringing another pastor in its place. And I would really pray about that. Things are going on right now that are not godly. And we need to pray for Kenneth Copeland. He's not upset. He just thanks TBN for carrying him this far. There's a lot of things going on out there that if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to get caught, get into a lot of trouble. Amen. And I don't care how annoyed you think a pastor is, you need to watch the fruit continually. You know, God's told us we need to be fruit inspectors. And then God told us if we can't live it, he said, about this pulpit, if you can't live it, don't get up here and teach it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you're going to go out there and be a teacher of the gospel, make sure you're living it before you go out there and teach it. All right. God said, how many ways can I say pray without ceasing? It is in your prayer closet that the answers are found. It is as you seek my face that answers are given. Seek, little ones, like never before. Allow me to go ahead of you and prepare a way in the wilderness. Allow me to be the one that leads, guides, and directs each and every footstep. Allow me to be the total savior of your existence. Do you know how many people are out there that you're ministering to that don't understand that God will speak to them? Come on. I told somebody, I said, you know, they were wanting me to pray, and I said, you know, God hears your prayers too. I said, why don't you just go ahead and sit down quietly? I was writing an email. Sit down quietly and just tell God what you just told me, and then listen for what he says to you. And I got back an email about an hour later. You could just tell the person when to jump through the email. They were so excited because they did exactly what I said. They sat down quietly and spoke the same thing to God as he did to me. And God gave them the answer. And I already know what God's going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you until you tell me. And so I had written it down, so I sent it to them. You know, sometimes we want people to rely on us for the answers, or just, well, you want to do that because you want to build up. But what we're supposed to do is get the other people. You're supposed to be making disciples, in other words. You're not supposed to be having them come to you all the time. You're supposed to tell them, you know, you can pray as well as I can, and God listens to your voice too. And I even said to one person, I said, God gets excited when you talk to him. And they wrote back and they said, he laughed. God does laugh when you talk to him. And that just opened a whole new door for that person. So how many doors are you allowing people to have closed? Because you want them to have to come to you for their answers. We all serve the same God. And if he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all. Come on. Let's read that one again. How many ways can I say pray without ceasing? It is in your prayer closet that the answers are found. It is as you seek my face that answers are given. Seek, little ones, like never before. Allow me to go ahead of you and prepare a way in the wilderness. See, we don't allow God to go ahead of us. And that's one of our problems. I tell God, are you in front of me yet? I do not want to stumble into some of those pits that I know the devil has out there. I'm not going to move, God, though I know you've already gone before me. I talk very freely to my God, don't you? I mean, he's my father. See, when I was younger, I had a good father. I could say anything to him, and I could say anything to my heavenly father. Even if it's dumb, he doesn't care. Remember the one time I told you I thought I'd sinned, and for 3 days I didn't talk to God, and one morning I got up and looked at my window and at the woods, and I said, oh, God. And he started laughing, and he said, daughter, I waited 3 whole days to talk to you. I have something very important I have to say to you. And I forgot what it was. I was just so excited that he was waiting to talk to me. I just fell on the floor and cried. Did I serve a God that was so waiting for 3 days for me to talk to him? How many of you made your father wait because you thought you did something dumb? God likes dumbness, in case you don't know it. He does. He does. You know how you do with your kids or grandkids or whatever, and when they come to you and they say some of the craziest things, you just smile to yourself. That's the way our father does, you know. And I think sometimes when one of mine come to me and talk like that, they don't even know what they're saying, but that's okay. It's cute. And I know that's what God says too. They don't have any idea what they just said. But I'm going to show them. Amen. Come on. We serve a father that cares. We do. You know, if you don't understand it, you cannot tell that to anybody else. You can't. If you don't know, if you haven't experienced it, you cannot tell anybody else about how loving our Father is and how caring he is. And this is why God wants us to draw close to him and get to know him. He doesn't want you to get to know me and my words. He wants you to know God and his word. Are you listening here? That's why a lot of people are stumbling and falling right now, because they don't really know God. All right, Luke 18, verse 1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. See, that's why people don't pray, is they lose heart. They just lose all hope. They just, what's the use? And I'm just hearing that is what's wrong with the youth of this day, even the youth in this church, because things haven't gone the way they thought. When they got excited and it hasn't gone the way they thought, they've lost heart. They just don't care. They don't pray. They don't read the word. You know, they don't even want to go to church. But you know how many grown-ups are like that too? I'm going to tell you right now, if I wasn't deeply rooted in Christ, I would have left the church a long time ago. It was some of the things that I've had to go, I would, you know, but I know that my God is in control, and I know he's with me with every trial and tribulation I go through. So you have to become honest with yourself. You have to quit thinking you're some great big God, you know, out there that can't be touched. You can be touched. And the enemy knows you can be touched, and he's going to touch you and try to get you to leave God. He's going to try to make you lose faith and hope. And see, the body of Christ is told differently. They're told, oh, you're some super being that the devil can't touch. That's a lie. Amen. The Bible tells me Jesus was touched in every way we are, right? Our 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. We don't do that, do we? That's not the first thing on our head when something's going wrong, is it? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, and we have a hard time with that. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I'm trying to get all my flower beds weeded, and I have a lot of flower beds, and it takes a lot to do that. And I was sitting out there, and I was laying down on my side weeding, and I said, God, thank you for these weeds. I'm just so glad that we got weeds. because I was really losing my joy over these dumb weeds. And Teresa's husband was helping. He said, now, Mom, come on. I said, no, but he said, be thankful for everything. Anyhow, he came with a little hoe and helped me, and the work went much faster. So see, God heard my prayer. All right. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, a lot of you don't believe that because I watched some of your faces and you're all downcast and everything else. I get that way too, but I have to remind myself that God is in control. I have to remind myself that He knows that where I'm at and what's going on, and He also knows the future. Amen. I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. I get no spots too, but I know how to get myself back up out of those spots. That's why I can teach them to you because what if I never had to go through any trials or tribulations? How could I sit up here and tell you you can make it through? There's things that God has led me into that I had to experience it. All right, I never, you know, perversion. I wasn't into, I didn't know about that at all. When God had me teach on that and I had to study it, that blew my little sanctified mind. But see, then He put perverted people in my life. And I saw firsthand what it did. And then I could teach it because I didn't do it, but I was exposed to it and I could teach it. Are you understanding this? So everything you go through in life, God is going to use it as a testimony later on down the road when you're ministering for Him. So quit getting all bent out of shape when you get into places that you think, I never thought. Drugs, okay? You know, I didn't know anything about drugs, but I sure found out a lot about drugs, and I didn't do it, so you don't have to do it to find out about it. But God had me minister to people that were on drugs, and I can't believe what drugs do to people. You know, it just makes them people they're not. But because I was witnessing it firsthand, working with it firsthand, I could teach it, and I could tell people, you can get out of this. Because God showed, you know, used me to help people to get out of this stuff. Are you understanding this? We don't want to get our hands dirty, do we? You know, okay, alcoholism. I didn't know anything about alcoholism until a member of my family became an alcoholic. And what I'm seeing what's doing to them, you know, it's just blowing my mind. But I know what prayer, how I have to pray for them. I know all the different ins and outs about it. And I can minister to them. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I have to go try drugs so I can tell them what. No, you don't. You just want to, and you're using that as an excuse. Well, you know, I have to look at a little bit of pornography so I can see what they're seeing and know how they feel. Then I can go and witness to them. No, you can't. You'll be sucked right into that hole. All right. Your job is to stay pure and holy and pull them. God always told me, don't go to their level. Bring them up to your level. And sometimes people aren't going to like you when you're trying to pull them up to your level, but you have to stay where God has you. Don't allow them. This is the reason why the lot in the body of Christ are not truly saved. Because when God sends somebody to witness to, all right, I'll just say Nancy. When God sent me to witness to Nancy, I got all caught up in her sin. Instead of me pulling her up, she pulled me down. And so then she's going to stay right where she's at. So because why should she, you know, change if I was going to do the same thing she was doing? All right. Where am I at? God said, children, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Live in the day you're in and enjoy each and every moment of that day. Seek me and you shall find me. Ask and it shall be given. Enjoy every day that you are in. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, God started teaching me that. And I thought, I wonder why he keeps having me, you know, he kept having me study about it. And guess what? Lo and behold, it was me. He was trying to get prepared to live in the day I was in and not to be trying to live a month down the road. And he'd always say, daughter, you live in the day that I have you in. Enjoy each and every second of it. For you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, so just enjoy what you have in front of you right now. And see, if you're thinking about what's going to happen a month from now, you can't enjoy what God's doing for you at the moment. All right? See, God wants us to enjoy every second of our life, not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, so don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I looked at 3 more flower beds I got to weed. And I was just going to enjoy that one that day, because these others are going to take care of themselves until I get to them, right? Come on. Isn't that right? How many think, oh, I got to scrub the kitchen floor? And you know, and you can't enjoy what you're doing because you're always thinking about you got to scrub the kitchen floor. So I just say, God, you take care of the kitchen floor. And so in my house said, I'm going to scrub the kitchen floor for you tonight after everybody goes to bed. I said, that's wonderful. See, I enjoyed what I was doing, and God had laid upon somebody else's heart, because I didn't dirty the floor. They did. He laid upon their heart to scrub the floor. Isn't that neat? God said, children, I so desire to be the true author and finisher of your lives. I desire to be there to lead, guide, and direct each and every thought. Your thought patterns run amok, and the enemy uses this time frame to pull you off course. Keep your mind stayed on me and allow me to be all that you have need of each and every day. Your little mind up here gets you in a whole lot of trouble with all the junk it thinks, doesn't it? Children, I so desire to be the true author and finisher of your lives. I desire to be there to lead, guide, and direct each and every thought. Your thought patterns run amok, and the enemy uses this time frame to pull you off course. And while your mind's going crazy, that's whenever he distracts you and gets you to do something you shouldn't do. Keep your mind stayed on me and allow me to be all that you have need of each and every day. God said, there is no room for the enemy in your mind if your mind is stayed upon me. So he said right here, if your mind is stayed upon him, the enemy can't come in there with his junk and pull you off course. Isn't that what he just said? God said, I wrote your life out for you before you were born. But because you do not concentrate on heavenly things, the enemy had permission to come in and wreak havoc in your lives through your thought life. What did Paul tell you about your mind? Did he not say to think on those things above and not below? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Now, with what this young man in the video told us was going to come down starting the end of August through December, our mind could go crazy. But we're going to have to keep our mind in heavenly places. We have to remember that God said, when all this darkness hits, if we're walking really close to him, it won't touch us. And you know, The young man said that he's saving up food so he can share it with others. And, you know, God told, and, you know, we all should do that. And God told us that when all this happens, he would take care of every one of our needs. And that would be food too, right? But I'm not saying don't store up food. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is, instead of you worrying constantly, oh, am I going to be able to get food? Am I, you know, this, that, you know, just keep your mind stayed in Christ. Say, God, you said you're going to keep me well in all this darkness. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Don't let your mind go crazy. And Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Now, the message tonight is going to be about peace. But dwell on the good things and not on the bad things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Before we read that, you know, the enemy is going to use any circumstance in your life to try to get you out of God's will. I bought a walk-in tub. If you know anything about walk-in tubs, I found they're not cheap. And a lot of people in my family need the walk-in tub because they have arthritis and different things in their body. Well, I got this expensive tub sitting in my bathroom. Right? This is just an example. And everybody's using this tub. I don't use it, but everybody else does. And I go in there, you know, they have unscrewed the drain. Why, I don't know. They have go in there and take a shower, but don't close the door. So the water then is going down the ceiling, is on my sofa and ruining my ceiling above it, below it. And you're supposed to keep it really clean. You have to wipe it down every time you use it. So they're not wiping it down and keeping it clean. It's filthy, dirty. And so you know what's happened. This tub, it has been an agitation in my spirit. And if I would let it, it would totally take my mind clear out off of Christ. But I said, no, devil, you're not using this tub to take my mind off of God. Instead, I just wrote out all the instructions, gave everybody in the house that uses it, everybody that, you know, that does use that bathroom. This is how you use this tub. If you can't follow these instructions, here's what I said. Go outside with a water hose and take soap and bath out in the yard. Yeah. Come on. But it was really taking up too much time. It took my mind off the things I needed to be thinking about, you know. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't care what I'm doing. I constantly have my mind stayed on Christ. Listen to what he's saying to me. And I couldn't hear nothing except tub, 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 you know. Do you know what a walk-in tub cost? Let's say $17,000. And they're up there doing all this thing to this walk-in tub. And here's my little payment now every month to pay for this expensive bathtub. You wonder why my mind was saying tub, 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 tub. But it should have been saying Christ, 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 you know. I'm just showing you a little thing. And you know, a little thing. And I'm not going to say I can't afford that because we don't say that, right? Benningham. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody's enjoying the tub, though. I haven't tried it out yet. They keep calling me, how do you like your tub? I said, it's fine. Are you using it? No. Why aren't you using it? I just don't have to. Everybody else is in there all the time using it. You know. So every time you look, we don't think tub, tub, tub. All right. This is what we should be, all right? This is why I put this. This is what we should be in closing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the life of the new man. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Tub, tub, tub. Now this is the way we're supposed to be living if we're called, saying we're children of God. And verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, and slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Then it said the Christian life. This, the first part was the life of a new man. Now, starting at verse 12, it's a Christian life. Therefore, God's chosen ones, are you God's chosen one? Holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see what you have to put on. Accepting one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. That's why you don't have unity in the churches. That's why you don't have unity in your homes. That's why you don't have unity in your workplace. It's because love is not the most important thing there. Verse 15 said, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that was a Christian life. Now, this is Christ in your home. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. This happens too often. Fathers do exasperate their children. And verse 22 says, slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but work wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically and as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Now that's how a Christian should live, period. And we read there, wives, be submissive to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Remember, God told me that if we walked in love, the word submit would never be come from our lips. Wife, you'll submit to me. Get out of here. That's not love, right? All right, then God said, children, this day I desire that you set your minds on things above and forget about the beggarly elements of this world and come up hither with me in heavenly places and allow me to place my hands of mercy upon you and fill you to overflowing with my glory. Now, I know that was a little lengthy, but you know what? We need the Word of God under our belts if we're going to make it through these dark days that are looming before us. And God did tell us that we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. and that we are going to be fulfilling Scripture. Now, are you really ready to go out there and defeat the enemy at every turn? Is your life so engrossed in God that the enemy cannot take you off course with anything? Are you truly walking holy and righteous, or are you just going to church? You know, I think it's in this evening's message, God said that you have to be holy and walking in righteousness to even have peace. So how many of you this morning want everything that God wants for your life? How many of you truly want to be a good servant of the Lord, going out there and telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth about the way a Christian should live? And are you living the way God is, the way God just laid it out here for us? And I'm hearing God say, true disciples never quarrel among themselves. True disciples walk in love, and they give everything to me, place it in my hands. Now, are you really a true disciple? Think about that. Do you argue with your brother and your sister in the church? God said that we shouldn't do that. We should walk in unity one with another. You know, God cannot drop his glory, and the Holy Spirit can't draw people into this building if you're fighting with one another inside the building. Are you understanding this? Whenever we walked in all the fullness of all the gifts of God, people would drive down in front of the church and were compelled to come into the house of God. They saw the fire on top of the building. They saw a big angel standing there. That happened because everybody that was on staff was in total unity, loving one another and trying to make sure that the body of Christ was being built up. They weren't trying to build their own ministries. They were all together just wanting to help bring forth God's vision. Disunity came into this building, and that's why then the God is still here. God still does wonderful things, and the Spirit of God is still here, but he can't do what he wants to in his fullness because there's too much disunity, lack of compassion for one another, lack of love for one another. This is not the only church that's having that problem. The churches all over the world are having that problem. Some people just are not addressing it. They'd rather scoot it under the carpet and act like everything's all right. You can't scoot anything under the carpet because it just becomes a big lump, doesn't it? And you trip over it. God said we have to repent. He's calling forth the church to repent. Ever since I've been preaching, 30-some years, that's all I ever preach is repentance and holiness. That's all I've ever preached. But the body of Christ didn't repent. People would leave here. They loved to hear, but they would leave because they couldn't stand hearing repent. But you're going to have to hear it now because God's not letting anybody free. You're not going to be able to walk away from it because he's going to make sure you hear that you have to repent. Mary, you have to tell everybody they have to repent. It doesn't matter if they, God said they're kicking the teeth, let them kick you in the teeth, but you have to do what you have to do. You have to acknowledge sin where sin is and tell the people so they can get it together. They're not going to like you for it, but in the end, they'll thank you for it. And it's going to be hard at first. But God said, as you just go ahead and let him use you the way he wants to use you, you're going to see the people manifest the glory of God. You know, the glory of God will be manifested on them, and they're going to be totally changed. All right? And you say, if you're a leader in here, you have to understand that the enemy's going to fight you. He doesn't like you. And he's going to come against you at every turn. And one thing God always told me, he says, never settle for second best. And you guys, if you're a minister of any type, you have to settle for the very best. And the very best is in heavenly places. And God always told me, do not compromise your walk with me. And other, you know, my second husband, you know, he really tried to get me to compromise, but I never compromised. And at the end, he thanked me for not compromising because that's what made him come to Christ. And he's now seated in heavenly places. You understand this? It's not easy. It's not easy when you're trying to deal with loved ones. I can deal better with a stranger than I can my loved ones, all right? Because you want them to love you. You don't want them to turn their back on you. But you have to tell it like it is. And I tell my family, your blood, I'm telling you, because your blood is not going to be in my hands when I stand before the Father. And each one of you, you need to read that scripture, because if you don't tell the people when God tells you to tell them, their blood is going to be in your hands because you didn't warn them that they were going down the wrong road. So God said, children, this day I desire that you set your minds on things above and forget about the beggarly elements of this world and come up hither with me in heavenly places. Allow me to place my hands of mercy upon you and fill you to overflowing with my glory. What God wants to do this morning is he wants to do that. If you really want to go to heavenly places with him, you come up, he's going to give you a touch from heaven, and you're going to find out that you're going to quit being concerned about what's going on in this earth, and your mind is going to be stayed upon Christ and what he is doing in heavenly places. Because, see, he wants to take us up into heavenly places so he can explain to us, just like he did the young man in the 5 hours he went to heaven, tell us what's going on and send us back down on earth to warn others. That's what our call is all about. It's up to you. Do you want God to touch you this morning?